Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Public forum.
Public forum is an opportunity for the public to get up and speak about anything they'd like to discuss.
Commissioner Wright, you said building another subdivision just makes sense to protect building on farmlands somewhere else. Really? You said, if you are sitting in traffic, then you are the traffic and get over it. Really? Really? And you stand by that idiotic, I'm sorry I said idiotic.
Oh, Wallace. Wallace Mahoot she hasn't been to the meetings in a little while, I think. But yesterday was an interesting meeting, the Santa Rosa County Commission meeting. There was a lot. We'll, of course, talk about as much of it as we can. But, you know me, I always like to gravitate towards the entertaining. And the entertaining thing is when you really stand behind that idiotic comment. Sorry, I mean idiotic. I mean, I just said it. But, you know, I didn't. Sometimes I get the better of myself. What she's talking about is Colton Wright has made a comment in the past. I've made the comment. The comment is accurate that, you know how much you hate being in traffic? You're it. What is traffic? Traffic is people in cars going places. You are a person in a car going to a place. You're traffic, right? And if you're stuck in traffic, you know what the guy behind you thinks about you? God, I hate this traffic. And you know what you think about the guy in front of you? God, oh, I hate this traffic. You're it, right? So Colton has made the comment both that, yeah, you know, need to build more density, and that puts more people in, you know, areas that are not going to create sprawl, that A, makes for longer trips and makes more traffic, and B, encroaches on farmland, which, you know, is its own separate problem. But, okay, right, he's right. Okay, density is generally a good thing. That's correct. But, you know, she said, you know, you're an idiot. Well, not an idiot. I'm sorry. I didn't mean that.
Ms. Mahoot, it's good to see you out again. Although I'm going to, your opinion is not based in fact. And what my comment saying that if you're in traffic, you are traffic and you are part of the problem is a statement of fact. It's inconvenient, but every single person in this room, there's not a person in this room that can't relate to being in traffic and being frustrated. And saying, gosh, I wish I could get my place a little faster. I'm wanting to get around the car in front of them and getting stuck at the stoplight and hating the fact that it's taking them 2 extra minutes to get out of their neighborhood. It's a fact. We all deal with it. But when you're one of those cars on the road, another car in line at the stoplight, you are traffic.
Yeah. I mean, it's like going to Disney, being angry at all these people who take their kids to Disney. God. Here, I just wanted to have the park to myself. You know, pedestrians are pedestrians. It's like, it's what's hard about this. It just is.
The road doesn't belong only to you or only to me. And that's what I was getting at, this self-centered idea that the world revolves around me when I'm in my car. And everybody else, George Carlin had a joke about when you're in a car, everybody else is a maniac, right? When you're the person driving, everybody else is a bad driver. Not you, but meanwhile, the car next to you is saying, well, that person right there is a bad driver. So it was a statement of fact. Everyone that's in traffic is part of the problem. I'm sorry it was, you know, misunderstood, but that's exactly what it was.
I like people who are rational and logical, and I like them extra if they're rational, logical, and nice. Although I will say I do sometimes have a fondness for the mean. But no, I mean, you know, Colton is nice, and he's reasonable, and he's logical, and he knows what he's talking about, and, you know, he doesn't usually get angry every once in a while. It does happen. But Rhett Rowell, who is... I love Rhett, but his name always makes me think of Scooby-Doo every single time. I can't say his name and not think of Rhett Rowell. Somebody give him a Ruby snack. Anyway, so... and I know he... I'm certainly not the first person in his life to say that. But he made an interesting announcement at the beginning of the meeting.
My first 6 months, been a quick 6 months or a very long 6 months, depending on what time of the what meetings we have. I have taken time to watch, learn, and listen. Through this time, I have had a chance to see what works best for me in this important role. It's also led me to seek practices that I believe best fit my governing style and how I will proceed with rezoning requests.
What's going to happen here?
I think we would all agree that zoning, variance requests, conditional use decisions, they're some of the toughest and have the longest lasting impacts to our county. And with that being said, and in keeping with the practice of some previous commissioners that I deeply respect and people that I've spoken with that I truly respect, I have decided that I will treat all issues that come before me during special rezoning meetings as truly quasi-judicial, and I will rely on the evidence that is provided in the record and public testimony.
Now, I know the term quasi-judicial may not mean much to you if you don't follow a lot of these, you know, the intricacies of the Kabuki Theater of local government, but what that basically means is that there's very strict rules about what you can and cannot introduce as evidence, who can and cannot speak, what the commissioners can and cannot do on their own. And the short version of this is it's much more restrictive. In an effort to, like a legal proceeding, quasi-judicial, to make it be more predictable, more neutral, more safe, less bias and personal influence and, I don't know, less loosey-goosey than a normal issue might be. So when the commission or the council is sitting as a quasi-judicial body, there are all these very particular rules that they have to follow. Otherwise, they can be sued for not following the rules. And what he's saying is that when it comes to a zoning issue, you know, a variance or a conditional use request or changing a zoning or rezoning, he's going to treat it like a quasi-judicial matter. Which is, means he's going to self-impose a higher standard on what he does and what information he takes in and if there's ever any lobbying of him, which is very common in these kinds of things. But it's not supposed to happen when you have quasi-judicial matters.
Therefore, I will not be meeting with interested parties before the public zoning meetings. Any written communication I receive will be provided to administrative staff so it can be shared with everybody here. I felt it was important to say this publicly so no one will be surprised when they request a private meeting with me concerning a zoning variance or conditional use request. I know this may not work for everybody, but I just feel that that's how I will best govern in these hearings and moving forward. So I just wanted to say that.
Hey, this is great. I admire this. I also, you know, having not been a commissioner, there's a part of me that thinks maybe there's a value to working outside the process somewhat, you know, because I'm the kind of person that if I know, I'd want to go to the site and look around. And I think that's one of the things you're not supposed to do because you're supposed to only take in the testimony like a judge, you know, and a juror is not supposed to go investigate a site. They're supposed to take the information that comes in from the official, you know, protocols. And so I don't know that this would be the thing I would do. But I like the idea that what he's trying to do is create an appearance of propriety. You know, the kind of, well, there's less for people to criticize if they know that if I send an email to you, it's going to go to everybody, and I'm not going to take a meeting with you because I'm not going to meet with anybody privately about this stuff, which does kind of raise the neutrality, looking like the judiciary kind of element that he's trying to accomplish. And, you know, I appreciate that he says, you know, this may not work for everybody. I don't view this as some shady, like shade throwing where, you know, hey, if y'all were smart, you would do this too. I just think he's trying to come up with a solution that allows him to sleep better at night and not get criticized for even looking like he's doing something inappropriate. So, you know, seems like a good thing to me. 437-1620, big rain. Oh, my God. The yesterday, I got a text in from Ryan Jenkins, our farmer in Jay, Florida, yesterday, middle of the show, and I just completely forgot to mention it. They had 24 hours rainfall of 10 inches yesterday. In North Santa Rosa and Escambia County, 7 and 9 across the county. And again last night, brutal rain. Now, that storm has mostly moved on through, but, man, wild weather. Brad Baker, county administrator, talking about it.
Mr. Chairman, I did want to provide a quick update. As you've heard everybody talk about the flooding, we do have several roads that are out. We did receive between 7 and 9 inches of rain just north of the Allentown through the Jay area. We did have one road that's completely washed out, Ebenezer Church Road, there between Dykestown Road and Ebenezer. Some of the others will just have to open up after the water recedes, but there are several roads in the north end that are closed right now.
And several of those have updated, like country. This is the update as of 3 o'clock yesterday. We don't have a more recent update than that. County's really good at putting out public information, by the way. Country Mill Road between Greenwood and Polktown is reopened. Shell Road in the Jay area is open with hazards. Due to water on the road, drivers are asked to use extreme caution. Highway 4, I don't like driving through a puddle because, you know, the game in Florida is puddle or pothole. They look the same after a storm. Anyway, Shell Road and Jay is open with hazards. Highway 4 Dobson is reopened. Ebenezer Church Road, as of yesterday, about 10, 12 hours ago, between Dykestown and Ebenezer Church is now, well, it doesn't say, but I think it's still closed. Morristown Road, just north of Clamors Road, is reopened, open to one lane. Actually, that I don't know if the Ebenezer Church Road, it looks like they were going to say maybe it's open, and they haven't. Road still closed due to flooding. Walling Road at Coldwater Creek, Highway 4 at Morristown, Highway 90 between Pine Level Church Road and Chmukla. Highway Gordon Land Road at Coldwater Creek, recreation areas closed. And Amos Cabanas, I think is how you say this, road in the Munson area is closed at the bridge over Juniper Creek due to water on the road. So, and Noah spent any time for reopening a lot of those. So, yeah, it was bad yesterday. And, I know north of Escambia had similar problems. But man, and more water overnight, so that did not make it go. And by the way, the other note about this is the farmers. What does Ryan always tell us? Rain is good. A lot of rain is bad. You know, so because a lot of rain does damage. You know, a little bit of rain does growth. 521 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
There is a big difference in the type of service you get from companies that do air duct cleaning. Hi, this is Todd from Gulf Coast Air Care, and I want you to know the difference between a quality job and a blow-and-go duct cleaning job. Let me ask you this. Do you really think you can get a 1-carat diamond for 10 bucks? It's just like getting a $99 whole house duct cleaning. There are guidelines from the National Air Duct Cleaners Association and also the Better Business Bureau. A true inspection, cleaning, and restoration of an AC system includes the equipment and ductwork by a licensed and certified company. It's like a full detail for your car instead of the cheapy method of running it through a $5 wash and go. Air conditioners are expensive. Keeping them clean and well maintained is a guaranteed way to have better health and comfort. So you decide what works for you, the $5 wash and go or a full detail top to bottom. At Gulf Coast Air Care, we take pride in the certifications and the licenses that we hold. If you want the best quality and award-winning customer service, you can find us on the web at GulfCoastAirCare.com or call 934-2768.
You're great at protecting your personal information. You might even use things like two-factor authentication and strong passwords. But as much as you try to control how your info is protected, there are other places that also have it, and they may not be as careful. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats. If your identity's stolen, they'll fix it guaranteed, or your money back. Save 40% your first year with my name Clay as the promo code at LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
Sometimes I struggle to get to sleep. My body stopped for the day, but my mind is still running. So I take ZQL.
ZQL, the world's number one sleep aid brand, has a range of non-habit forming products to fit you and your family's needs. Invest in a great night's sleep for the best you tomorrow.
I'm awake and ready to take on anything.
Better days start with ZQL Nights. Explore our products at ZQL.com.
Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
The Pensacola housing real estate market has been crazy for the past few years.
How do you know when to buy or sell?
You'll need an expert to help you. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel this Thursday at 9 a.m. right after Pensacola Morning News to hear real estate expert Christina Leavenworth with Leavenworth Realty discuss current real estate conditions. That's Thursday at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio Pensacola has a team of experienced and award-winning journalists dedicated to bringing you the most accurate and up-to-date news coverage. Informative, local, dependable.
Ugh, this is why I can't have nice things.
Gah!
I want to talk about this very briefly. I was in Los Angeles over the weekend getting a BBL from a celebrity doctor. And quick question, for those of you who live in that area, is your city ever not on fire? Whether you win a basketball championship, a World Series championship, whether you have an exploding pinata gender reveal gone wrong, congratulations, it's a boy and an evacuation, or you're just protesting the Trump administration's expanded deportation raids, LA continues to be our most flammable city.
I have to be honest, I was sort of thinking the same thing when all of this happened. It's like, when is LA, I mean, they almost ought to put a sign up at the entrance, you know, 214 days, fire free. You know? Like, it's always on fire for the wildfires or for a riot or for, you know, we won something. He's exactly, this, I had the same exact thought, but John Stewart did say it much funnier than I had it going on in my head. Although I do kind of like the idea of the sign at the entrance. LA, free of fires for, oh, dang, no days. All right, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. Looks like Elon Musk and President Trump are back on the same page, at least for one issue. Elon Musk is now backing President Trump's stance on the immigration issues in California. He shared posts criticizing Governor Gavin Newsom and L.A. Mayor Karen Bass for their handling of the protests after the ICE raids. President Trump, speaking of President Trump, will be visiting Fort Bragg in North Carolina today to help kick off the Army's 250th birthday celebration. That's a big one. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth also plans to join him at the base, which is home to about 57,000 troops.
I'm just glad we're calling it Bragg again.
Yes. Exactly.
For a brief time in the aughts, it was Liberty?
Yeah,
good Lord.
So weird when we had to change all the names to everything. A major...
Well, is there an asterisk in like the Wikipedia page that says Fort Bragg, formerly known as Fort Liberty? You know, like... I don't know what all the dead naming protocols are here. Like, if we talk about something that happened, say, a year ago, do we have to say that it happened at Fort Liberty? But if it happens today, it happens at Fort Bragg. Do we say it was always Fort Bragg? Do we pretend it never existed? You know, do we pretend it never happened?
Yeah,
that Elliot Page was never a chick? You know, like, what? I don't know what the rule is.
If it happened during that 4 years,
what, John?
Span,
you give me a weird look.
It was never,
you just
never
said
existed.
Somebody was a chick.
Oh, well, you know, Ellen Page is Elliot Page.
Oh.
And on her sorry, God, I didn't mean to dead name him. His IMDb page, and he'll even say things like, you know, back when he was the star of The Pregnant Girl in Juno or whatever. Like, it's just all of this. Don't dead name. Anyway, go ahead, David. Sorry to interrupt
Brother
you.
Brother Andrew's going to cancel regular Andrew on Friday.
I mean, big, you know, Brother Andrew just can't stand the rest of this show. He can't believe he's a part of it. So.
A major food distributor for Whole Foods is facing a cyber attack, Andrew, that's disrupting supplies to some of their stores. United Natural Foods revealed on Monday that they had to take some of their systems offline after detecting that attack last Thursday. Apparently, it temporarily slowed down their ability to process customer orders.
I have no comment at all on the nature of United National Foods. National or natural? What was it?
Oh, boy. It's 5 a.m. Natural.
United Natural Foods. But I will say they have the most Colombian militia type acronym I've ever heard of. The UNF sounds like a revolutionary front, don't you think? The UNF?
A little little bit, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of got that feel to it. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 528 on News Radio 92.3. Andrew, what's wrong with you? I don't know. You know, I got a normal amount of sleep yesterday, so that's certainly not the issue. Let's see. Bands on the beach tonight. Always a good time. Come by the Cat Country tent and spin and win, or spin and hope to win. I can't guarantee anything. But tonight you have Schofield. Is that how you say it, John? Schofield, ever heard of this
Schofield.
Band? Schofield. Okay. Then, why don't they spell it that way? Anyway, just why would you mess with me like that? So Schofield is going to be performing tonight. Always a good time. If you haven't been to Bands on the Beach in a while, it's amazing. There's, what would you say? 1,000 people? 500?
Oh, easily.
More than 1,000?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a lot of people out there. You go and you're like, holy crap, I just thought it was, you know, like bar mitzvah band and a few people milling about. No, it's a party every Tuesday on the beach. It's a huge deal. What else do we have going on? 437, 16, 20, no. Oh, okay. Interesting. Just sort of a good follow-up, by the way. News Service of Florida doing a follow-up on the development around abortion laws in Florida because, you know, we changed our abortion law. And remember, we made it 6 weeks. You cannot have, unless you have, there are certain conditions under which you can have it after 6 weeks. Before 6 weeks, you know, no questions asked, basically. And there was a long battle over whether this was legal, whether it was compatible with the Privacy Amendment, the Constitution, and so forth. Abortion is down 45% in the state of Florida. So policies matter. Right? 17,000 abortions, which is a lot, okay, since for the first part of this year. Same time last year, about double that. Where's the number here? I don't have it, but it's like 35,000, something like that before. Very, very few post 6 weeks, but there are a few, so policies work.
News. I'm Daria Albinger, the White House sending in Marines to help stop protests in California.
We're going to use the authority that he has as President of the United States to conduct these operations. And the more that people conduct violence against law enforcement officers, boy, we're going to hit them back. And we're going to hit them back harder than we ever have before.
Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem on Fox's Hannity. Congressional Budget Office says that big, beautiful bill would increase the federal deficit by nearly $3 trillion over 10 years.
The big, beautiful bill, what it does it eliminate the deficit? No. Or the deficit spending in the future? No. What it does is starts to level off that plane. And we need to level it off before we can start to bring it back down again.
Florida Republican Congressman Carlos Jimenez disagrees. A number of people are dead after a shooting at a school in Austria. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got partly cloudy skies. It is 71 degrees in Pensacola. Well, police in Foley are looking into a jewel heist at the Tanger Outlet Mall over the weekend. Police say they were called by an employee at the Zales Outlet Store, saying that an undisclosed amount of jewelry had been stolen overnight. Police say it appears that the burglar broke into the next door rock and roll sushi store, then broke through a wall to get access to that jewelry store. Not a lot of information has been released on that, but if you have any information, contact the Foley Police Department. Now, police in Fort Walton Beach say a 36-year-old man was arrested after causing a disturbance outside of a church with a BB gun over the weekend, and he allegedly had three kids in his vehicle when that happened. Police say they responded to the Destiny Worship Center in Fort Walton Beach on Sunday afternoon after security reported a man revving his engine, doing burnouts, and acting erratically. Security officers say the man displayed what appeared to be an AR-15 rifle when he was asked to leave the parking lot. Once police arrived, they say the suspect, identified as Salvador Castro Martinez, was taken into custody without further incident. Officers say there were three toddler-aged kids in the back seat of the vehicle. Castro Martinez is being held in the Okaloosa County Jail without bond on charges including child abuse, aggravated assault, and improper exhibition of a weapon. Well, both Escambia and Santa Rosa counties are looking to address issues with absenteeism in schools. News Radio's Austin Price with more.
COVID-19 pandemic, both counties have seen their numbers of student absences skyrocket. And while Santa Rosa has made some improvements, Escambia remains visibly above the state average. The lingering problem has prompted Santa Rosa County to warn families about the risk of kids losing their privileges of participating in extracurricular activities, and Escambia County to attempt routinely incentivizing attendance while better monitoring it. I'm Austin Price for News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much, Austin. Over a dozen people are facing charges after an undercover sting operation targeting child predators in Volusia County. The sheriff's office announced yesterday that 14 men had been arrested as part of Operation Travel to Gavel. The men are accused of trying to meet a minor for sex, but the teenagers they thought they were meeting, of course, turned out to be undercover detectives. It is 5:34 at News Radio, and let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to be seeing a chance of some showers and thunderstorms as we head into your afternoon and evening. High today near 88 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 74. For Wednesday, 60% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 88. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 76. Keeping our rain chance around on Thursday with a 60% chance of rain and a high near 89 degrees. Stick connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And thank you very much, Brooke. Right now, 71 degrees. We've got mostly cloudy skies. Your next news at 6. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Amazon says it will spend $20 billion on two data center complexes in Pennsylvania, including one it is building alongside a nuclear power plant. Governor Josh Shapiro called it the largest private sector investment in Pennsylvania's history, saying this is just the beginning because his administration is working with Amazon on additional data center projects in the state. Apple's annual developer conference was light when it comes to notable advancements in artificial intelligence. UBS analyst David Vogt said many of the AI features announced were more incremental in our view and already available through competitor applications. The bigger focus of the event was all the changes that are coming to the design of Apple's software. Disney has agreed to pay Comcast just over $438 million to acquire Comcast's stake in streaming service Hulu. In 2023, Disney said it would buy Comcast's remaining stake in Hulu to take full ownership of the streaming service. Futures are mixed. Yesterday, the Dow lost one. That's your money now.
When it comes to precious metals, there's only one place to consider, and that's Emerald Coast Coins. They're the local leader in dealing with coins and jewelry, gold, silver, diamonds, and sterling silver. Emerald Coast Coins buys, sells, and trades. And for the past 15 years, customers from all over the Gulf Coast have trusted Emerald Coast Coins for the best estimates and prices in town. Stop in today. Emerald Coast Coins on Creighton Road.
Every day, you enjoy the freedoms brought to you by the First Amendment. You can speak your mind, wear what you want. You can put a sign on your front lawn that says, "Vote for Bigfoot, someone you can believe in." Pray to the God of your choice, or don't. They're the freedoms that let you be you. All brought to you by the First Amendment. Learn more at freedomforum.org.
This message is sponsored by Freedom Forum and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Hey, Pensacola, get ready for a midday delight that'll have you hooked. Weekdays from 11 until 2 on News Radio Pensacola. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins are the dynamic trio that'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud during your lunch break. They dish out the hottest topics, bring you the latest news, and deliver their unique blend of humor and insight that'll have you coming back for more. It's the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show on News Radio Pensacola, 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
You know, well, I'm a chicken fried, a cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and the radio. Oh, oh, oh.
this debt under control. $37 trillion worth of debt. Whatever projection you want to use, CBO's or anybody else's, we're running $1 trillion deficits year after year. We went to, after pandemic spending, we've been running $2 trillion deficits. If we want to get interest rates down, if we want to get inflation under control, which is part of what this last election was about, we've got to balance this budget. We have to have a path to balance the budget. And that's what my focus is. How do we get the president's agenda done? How do we balance the budget?
Rick Scott yesterday on Fox News Sunday also saying that the state and local tax exemption increase for the residents of places like New York and Chicago and L.A., San Francisco, he doesn't think that that's going to hold as well. So talking fiscal responsibility, I love to hear that. I want the president's agenda, but I want to cut the deficit, and I'd like to get us to a balanced budget eventually. Jimmy Petronis is our congressman from Northwest Florida District 1. He's in the thick of all this in D.C. right now. Congressman, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thanks for having me. I tell you, Senator Scott killed it yesterday on Fox News Sunday. I called him afterwards and just told him about how great of a job he did. I think he really struck a balance of what we all aspire to see. You know, none of us want to grow the deficit. And under the House bill, we are going to cut more than has ever been cut ever in the history of any legislation that has been proposed in Washington. There's also a need to really get our fiscal future in order.
Oh, completely. I completely agree. And that's, I actually wonder when the Senate gets done with what they do and they come back to your chamber with what I think will be a much scaled back spending, basically, because I think they're going to take out that state and local tax. I'm not sure what some of the other stuff that they might do. Do you think it can still pass the House with the reduced terms? Because obviously, you were the vote. Like, everybody was the vote to get it over the line.
Yeah, I don't like the SALT deductions. I hate them. But at the risk of everything else is in the bill, I mean, the Republicans we have from New York, they'll fall on their sword on this issue, and then we can't pass the bill. Fortunately, when we pass the larger benefit regarding SALT for the rest of the nation, as opposed to just those blue states, we had more members in the chamber. We had more Republicans in the chamber, so we had leverage. And now we get the leverage of one. So it's unfortunate. But hopefully, if the Senate can make this thing better, great. If we can get the votes across the finish line to take their better legislation to the president, great. My fear is if you move the SALT issue too much, we lose the bill. But, I'm willing to go fight with it. I just don't know how you're going to force somebody to vote for a bill if they know they've got leverage. We're going to have our hands full, and you don't want to give away other things. I guess you just kind of evaluate,
One of the other issues that, one of the other things I want to talk about with you is you filed your first bill finally, and not like you were supposed to file something earlier, but you filed a bill to investigate the cover-up of President Biden's cognitive decline and, find out what was really going on in our government and, who was signing which things with the auto pen and, somebody says he was doing everything, but I'm not even sure he wrote that statement himself. Why this bill for your first one?
Well, I agree with you about it. I don't think he wrote that statement. Look, we took the exact same template of the J6 committee. So we didn't go reinvent the wheel. We did something that had already existed, same structure, same architecture. And I just want to get to the bottom of it. I truly, in my heart, I met President Biden a couple times. I really had my own doubts when I saw him, but I thought, maybe he just got a lot going on. And then you start to see the revelations that are coming out from his staffers, and some of them are just they're self-servicing, creating their own books and doing all this in order to benefit themselves. But I think the reality is starting to leak out. We have heard way too much out of current staff and former staffers of the White House of why we should be questioned. Now, the reason why I want to get to the bottom of it is, do we have executive orders that need to be unwound? Do we have pardons that need to be unwound? What other safeguards do we need to put in place moving forward to ensure this never happens again? And then why, if the conditions were as bad as they were, why wasn't the 25th Amendment put into place? Was there other compromised elements amongst the cabinet members. So, look, I think transparency is a great thing. If we do it and we find there was nothing wrong going on, then you know what? Then the exercise was warranted, and let's settle those that had doubts and conspiracies of what was taking place in the White House.
Yeah, I mean, at least then you can reassure the American public that it wasn't some grand cover-up and that there wasn't any, you know, inappropriate, you know, government leadership or anything like that. But I just want to assume
exactly.
Democrats are invited to be, and you will, because one of the flaws of the J6 committee, obviously, was the almost no participation by Republicans, or, you know, only participation by people who are dubious Republicans, in my opinion. Will Democrats be a big part of this?
Yeah, I think the way the bill is written, it's 6 Democrats, 8 Republicans on the committee.
Great, great. That's good. I mean, important.
Look, I don't want a circus. I want something that's legit, you know. And you know, if you've got those out there that want to defend or explain, and the Republicans defend and investigate, that's all what this process is about. You know, just get the real answers out there, real transparency. If there's nothing there, then you got nothing to hide.
I agree with that. The feud, or apparent feud, between Trump and Musk it went like viral and nuclear very quickly. We honestly had the thought that this looked almost staged. Like, this is, I don't know, a work between them, but, you know, like in wrestling terms, like, you know, here's what you say, here's what I say. I don't know what to make of it. It just seems so absurd that people who are getting along fairly well all of a sudden are at massive war with each other. But what's your take on this? What's the significance of this, you think, for the country?
So I think, look, those guys have spent enough time together over the last year that they probably know how each other's going to react whenever they have some type of a public statement. I think there was a lot of truth to what the White House pointed out. There was probably some retaliation between the two bodies, where Elon had some things that he really wanted to see in the big, beautiful bill. Sounds like he was definitely advocating for the extension of the EV tax credits. Sounds like he really had his own guy handpicked to lead NASA. And I think as some of these expectations that Elon was hoping to pull off did not come to fruition, then look, there may have been some retaliation out of the White House saying, look, we're just, you know, now the things outside the big, beautiful bill aren't going to happen. Like, we're not going to put your NASA guy in. And so I think there was some pushing back and forth. I think Elon then kind of came to his senses, but he's still not quite there. I think he's, some of the stuff he's still put on Twitter, I was looking, and can be kind of snarky, but he also, this is the same guy that uses funny names or, you know, tongue-in-cheek, you know, coding for some of the things that he does. You put all the models of his Tesla models together, it spells sexy. You know, so this guy doesn't do anything by accident. I do think they will have a meeting in the minds. It'll come back around. But I think the president's a very serious person. I think Elon is very serious also, but he's also got those moments where he is also, you know, pretty enjoys making fun of life.
You just blew John's mind with that observation, by the way. He was sitting here looking, and I could see his brain, his eyes, like, wait, is that? Oh, that's why I had not realized that either.
The website, look at it.
That's kind of funny.
Yeah, click the drop down menu. Spell sexy. He does all types of crazy stuff like that.
Yeah,
you know, just to make life fun.
A little bit more entertaining, for sure.
But you know, but the president is wrapped around by a lot of very serious people. And, you know, I think Elon is well-intended, but I do think those two guys will have a meeting of the minds, and there will be other ways. But they're both billionaires that are very driven, that are used to getting what they want right now.
One of the things I wanted to get your opinion on, it's obviously been the big story. We've talked about it some today, just because I think it's been so all in the news and the national news, is the situation in Los Angeles. My own take is, honestly, I think that these protests were generally under control, and putting in the National Guard drew in the professional class of protesters and created a lot of the conflict that we're seeing today. It seemed to me like that made things worse rather than making things better. And I'm concerned that it's not a solution, you know, really, and especially against the governor's wishes and all that. But you're watching this, too, from D.C. What's your take?
You know, and I agree with a lot of what you said regarding the severity of the protest. Well, but what I do know is you've got Gavin Newsom, who is trying to find ways to find oxygen to keep his flame lit for 28.
Sure.
You've got a Congress right now that we are really having a lot of difficulty seeing the amount of dollars that go to states like California, that especially when it comes to Medicaid dollars, and you see this type of just flagrant, you know, abuse of federal law. So it's like, why are we sending these states that don't want to abide by federal law all this extra money? So I mean, so this is probably where you're seeing the administration, the White House, flare up with their frustrations, because, you know, we're sending these dollars, you know, they don't want to play by the rules, they don't want to obey federal laws, you know, then let's go and have a show of force to shut this stuff down. But, you know, look, anytime you burn down, you know, law enforcement automobiles, anytime you put your hands on law enforcement, that's inexcusable. And unfortunately, some of that was the case.
No, and I see that as well. You know, I think, which has kind of been late developing over the last day. It didn't show up in the original mm-hmm. stuff, but certainly, yeah. I mean, you know, even if the National Guard presence was not justified, even if you take that view, you still don't get to react to them by, you know, engaging in physical force. I mean, you know, the both can be wrong at the same time. You had a opportunity to give a eulogy for John Thrasher, I think on the floor, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right?
Yeah, and Speaker Thrasher, I mean, he had a number of titles: Speaker, Senator, Chairman, President. John Thrasher was just, he was a great Floridian. Oh, my gosh. He was not a taker. He was a giver. And, you know, he was just a massive influence of good on so many people that are in public service, me included. I think there was a number of members of Congress actually gave their own John Thrasher speech because he had such a magnetism to him that when he was part of the process, you wanted to learn from him. You wanted to you know emulate a lot of the leadership skills that he had. But man, the cancer came hard and fast, and you know, didn't know what hit him. And he was just, I mean, he was, you know, 80 years old, and he could kick my butt. I mean, he was in amazing shape, you know, but it's just heartbreaking for so many of us to see somebody who we looked up to go, you know, the way he did.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was just a lot of good that he has done for our state and service to our nation, and it needed to be memorialized.
Well, it's good to hear. I mean, like, you know, promoting the Patty Marine and, you know, talking about John Thrasher and, you know, just talking about the things from Florida that make us great, that we cherish and are important here, and, you know, bringing those little bit of awareness to the national stage when you're talking on the floor. I you know, I appreciate that. And also,
well,
by the way,
okay, all these members of Congress are all proud of their district.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, nobody has a district prettier than CD1. Nobody. Like, you can put this district up against anybody. Nobody's got what we've got. Nobody's got the commitment to patriotism, service of our country, sacrifice for our country than CD1. I mean, there's just a lot of incredible elements that we excel at that will always be number one at.
No, that's definitely the case. Congressman Jimmy Patronis, as always, sir, thank you so much for the time. We'll talk to you again next week. And by the way, your comments at the military forum I thought were very interesting. I'll be covering that over the next couple of days. But good stuff in those, by the way. I really appreciate you participating in that.
Oh, yeah. I tell you, did you say, is it online?
It's not. I had. I have sources.
Okay.
I found somebody to. Shannon Ogletree had a recording that, you know, that I got. So.
Okay, great. I may get a copy of it. All right, brother. Thanks.
All right. Talk to you soon. Thanks so much. 5:52 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Celebrating 15 years of excellence, Nancy's Catering and Events has been feeding Pensacola's most unforgettable occasions since 2010. Led by award-winning executive chef Gus Silivos, Nancy's team brings top culinary creations and guest experiences to the Gulf Coast area. From lavish weddings and galas to seaside crab boils and garden parties, Nancy's has you covered. For more information and to see the array of menus and services, visit nancyscateringandevents.com. Nancy's Catering and Events, where your perfect event begins.
Greater Pensacola's leaders are in the tallest buildings and smallest shops. And they come together here to drive growth in innovation.
to bridge industries, to share fresh ideas, and to understand how they can play a part in Greater Pensacola's success. The Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. We believe local businesses are the cornerstone of a great community. At Pensacola Christian Academy, your child will thrive in a safe, caring environment designed to build a solid foundation. Kindergartners become confident readers, develop fine motor skills through cursive writing, and sharpen problem-solving skills with engaging hands-on learning. Experience the affordable excellence and unmatched value of Pensacola Christian Academy. Learn more at enrollpca.com/radio.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Once in a while, you got to remember your roots. Every once in a while. Or more often than that, it's fine, too. 5:55 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. U.S. Attorney General Pam Bondi says one of the people who allegedly threw rocks at federal law enforcement vehicles during the L.A. protests over the weekend has been identified.
And they are doing a search warrant on his house as we speak.
A federal officer was injured by those rocks that were thrown Saturday. Bondi said on Fox News yesterday that the suspect can run, but he cannot hide.
Like he doesn't know the difference between a good and a bad hiding spot?
He didn't play enough hide and seek as a kid.
But he was like a track star. He can run, but he can't hide.
Right, absolutely.
Okay,
yeah.
All right, just trying to clarify. Go on.
Champion at one, not at the other. Mexican President Claudia Sheinbaum is rejecting the use of violence in the Los Angeles immigration enforcement protests. At a news briefing Monday, Sheinbaum urged the Mexican community in the U.S. to stay peaceful. And some changes coming to the CDC's vaccine advisory panel. U.S. Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr., is removing all 17 current members. He says the group is plagued with conflicts of interest. That committee helps to decide the national vaccine schedule and what shots are required.
So noted anti-vaxxer Bobby Kennedy Jr. wipes out all 17 of the members of the vaccine advisory committee and is going to put his own people in.
So you're shocked, are you?
No. I think no is the answer I'm looking. I mean, yes, because I'm always torn. There's the one part of me that's got a realistic assessment of who people are and the stuff that they do. And then there's the other part of me that is still naive enough to think that people won't be who they are.
Right.
You know, that people will just do smart things all the time instead. And now then reality, you know, disappoints me a lot. I'll just put it that way. So great. The future of our ability to develop enhanced immunity to diseases through the wonderful tool of modern vaccines is in the hands of 17 handpicked appointees of people who don't believe in vaccines, mostly. Okay, cool. Excellent. What could go wrong? David, thanks so much for the update. 5:58 on News. Elections have consequences. I mean, they do, you know? And I'm sure some people are like, yeah, Andrew, finally. No. How many of your friends have polio? Mm-hmm. Okay. 5:58. Just, you know, smallpox? Anybody got smallpox around here? No? Okay. All right, good. Where was I? Speaking of Iran, just sometimes I have to distract myself from myself. Iran has now taken a brand new horrible step in violating human rights. You ready? It's illegal to walk your dog in Iran. Yeah. Now, it's been this way, apparently, for like since 2019 in Tehran. You couldn't walk a dog in Tehran. Now, they've expanded it to 18 different cities. It's illegal to transport a dog in a vehicle. So, no doggy rides for you. No head out the window in Iran. It's supposed to protect public health. Walking a dog is a threat to, quote, peace and comfort, according to a prosecutor in Hamadan. This is BBC reporting. Dog ownership is long frowned on by Iran's conservative rulers, who call dogs unclean, denounce them as Western imports. You might say spies, dog spies. The Ayatollah Ali Khamenei has labeled keeping dogs, unless you're using them for the noble professions of herding, hunting, or security, reprehensible. Pet ownership is still on the rise among the young, who flout the rules by secretly walking their dogs at night or in secluded spots. So, the takeaway now is that Iran hates puppies. So now you can no longer say, what? What do they hate, puppies? Yeah, they're Iranians. Of course they hate puppies. Good Lord. Way to be a stereotype of a caricature of an exaggeration of yourself. But, okay. Secret dog walks.